there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. I'm Aunt Carolyn, and I'm surely glad to be with you. We're in for a good meeting today with some good singing and, of course, have a good story from God's Word. So get set. Here's the Children's Bible Club choir under the direction of Mr. Howard Woods.
Thank you, choir. When Mom or Dad calls, "Time to get up," do you groan and pull the covers up over your head? Do you snarl, "Go away"? Or do you throw back the covers, open your eyes to the light, and say, "Good morning," and then thank our dear Lord for keeping you safe through the night? Oh, you say, "Aunt Carolyn, you've got to be kidding." No, I'm not. If God has watched over you all night while you slept, and you've wakened in the morning with sunshine on your day, that's exactly what we should do. Say, "Good morning, Lord," and thank Him for His watch care. See, we get tired and sleepy and have to rest. But the Lord doesn't wear out. He doesn't knock off work and leave to go take a nap. He never sleeps late in the morning and comes late for His duties. Psalm 121 says that God who made heaven and earth, God who keeps Israel, never slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't even doze off. You may remember that Elijah mocked the false god Baal when he couldn't hear and answer his followers' frenzied prayers. Elijah teased, "Maybe your God is taking a nap. Maybe he's sleeping and can't hear you." Well, of course he couldn't hear them because he was not a living God at all. He was a false god and couldn't help anyone. Speaking of the day, did you know that God created the day? Yes, He did. Genesis 1:5 tells us God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness He called night. He had a wonderful purpose for the day and the night. Psalms 104 tells us that God made darkness and night so that all the beasts can creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. At night, if your dad's driving, the car lights may shine on a fox or raccoon or even a bear out foraging for food. The car lights frighten them because they were out under the cover of darkness, supposing they were safe. Then, when the sun comes up, they go back into the woods and lie quietly in their dens, and people can safely go out to work in the fields. Many animals sleep during the day, and we humans sleep during the night. God just planned things perfectly. Now, here's the choir again.
Dare not trust the sweetest friend, but only lean
children speak English. Others speak French or Chinese. Where did all these languages come from? There are hundreds of languages in the world. No one could ever learn them all. If you go to a strange country, you can't understand the people and they can't understand you. They just shake their heads sideways and give you a blank look. Why? Because they cannot understand your language. It wasn't always that way. After God created the world, everyone spoke one language. And after God destroyed the world by the great flood because of sin, the world began to be filled with people again, and they all still spoke one language and could understand each other. God told them to replenish the earth, and as families grew, they began to move away from Mount Ararat until generations later, the memory of the terrible flood and the fear of the God who sent it faded, and the people turned their hearts away from God. Now Nimrod was a mighty hunter. No doubt he was a hunter for meat, but soon he was also a hunter of men's souls. He moved his people and kingdom to the beautiful plain of Shinar. He built the great city of Babel, keeping people together for strength and protection. Nimrod was a mighty man. He felt no need of God. His people had Nimrod, so they didn't need God. And one day, they got a grand idea. They would build a magnificent tower, a real skyscraper, so tall it would reach all the way to heaven. Ah, they thought, we'll make a name for ourselves. We'll be famous for our brilliant minds and our great technical skill. Did God destroy the world by a flood? Well, they would show him. They would build a tower all the way to heaven, so high that no flood could cover it. They wouldn't get wiped out like those other people. Did God want them to disperse over the earth and depend on him? They would show everyone that they could have a powerful alliance and government in one central place. They need not obey God. And shouts of pride and self-glory rose up to the heavens. So they worked like slaves for years, making bricks and drying them in the sun. They didn't praise the God who created the sun. They made tons of mortar for cement out of slime. They forgot who made the dirt and water so they could make the mud. The mighty tower rose until it could be seen across the plain of Shinar like a great colossus drawing all to Babel. How sad it was that these people, whose forebears had been spared from the awful flood, now rebelled against the God who loved them. But they wouldn't obey him. They would rule their own lives. God allowed the long years of toil and back-breaking labor. Then when the tower got very, very high, God said, "This is far enough. If the people continue, they will not be restrained from anything their minds concoct. Man cannot control himself. I must put a stop to this." But how could God stop it? Would God send a terrible earthquake and make the tower fall? Would he send a mighty wind and blow it down? Would he send a relentless driving rain and turn the brick and mortar to mush? How could God possibly destroy such a magnificent work of man? God the same has said, "No problem." And without fanfare, God simply mixed up their language. Now, when a worker called to another to hand him more bricks, the co-worker just gave him a blank stare. He couldn't understand what the man said. So it went throughout the whole construction site. No one could understand what anyone else said. The confusion got so bad and the frustration and temper so hot that they couldn't work together. At last they gave up and went home. Families that spoke the same language moved away from folks they couldn't understand. Their mighty tower slowly crumbled down through years of wind and weather. Man's mightiest ideas were no match against God Almighty. They had tried to go to heaven their own way, but they could not bypass God's way. And so it is today. Man invents mighty devices. Computer and internet communication to go through the air, spacecraft to go into the skies, underwater capsules to explore the ocean depths, methods to clone animals, and even people, all to go against God's word and not glorify Him for His airways or oceans or creation. Man builds his one-world government without God, but when man is gone as far as God will allow, God will again step in and say, "Enough, thus far, and no further." God created man for His own glory. He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die to pay for man's sin. Yet many boys and girls are like Nimrod and want only their own way. But our way is sin and death. You cannot bypass God's way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Turn by faith to Him as your only Savior and seek to obey His word.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.